just
currently recording. Everybody's here. And Don, what's up, Doc?
Okay, so we've got issues. Excuse my hoarse voice. I'm actually not feeling bad, but I probably damaged my vocal cords over the weekend coughing. I am going to remove two items that are on the list of issues, and those both pertain to the fairgrounds, one being the agreement and the other being the pavilion roof matter. We'll deal with those next week. First item on the list, though, is Commissioner Communications and updates.
Who'd like to start? What's all that crackling?
Oh, Sonia.
Huh?
The mic must be on over there.
I don't even know what I've been up to.
Martha, you want to start?
Sure. Actually, this week we're going to have the first meeting of the LOCS group. And I suspect Mayor Russ Axelrod, I will nominate him to be the chair. That's a statewide commission that's going to be dealing with, you know, continuing to work with the Corps and the federal delegation to unlock the locks. So that's kind of a kind of an interesting thing. What else have I been up to? It was a quiet weekend. We did have an AOC executive committee meeting on Friday the 30th, where we are beginning to take a closer look at financials to get things in order. So that's a good thing. That basically is going to help us out. And that's about all I have at this point.
Ken?
Oh, gee, thanks.
Yeah.
Well, I'll keep it short. One is we had an opportunity to meet with a representative of Oregon Wild, where, of course, we discussed none other than cross-laminated timber and invited them to the table to have some additional discussions and hopefully come on board in support of our project.
PGE, I forgot that.
Oh, thank you. Yes. PGE.
No, Northwest Natural. Sorry.
I was going to say.
Utility.
Because I was going there next. And the other is a meeting with Northwest Natural Gas regarding running a line out to Estacada. Much more complicated and much more expensive than I think I realized. If we're able to do something like that, that's going to take a lot more planning and a lot more recruiting and a lot more financing than one realizes. And the other thing that we did learn is wherever the number came from that it was only 3 miles, it's not true. It's 12 miles to get to Estacada. And basically, the basic principle that makes it very difficult is that they cannot raise the rates of current ratepayers in order to pay for the expansion. It doesn't work that way. And so what happens is they have to look 10 years out, determine that the market for gas will be there at a certain level. The lower that level, the more cash infusion they have to have up front in order to do a construction project such as this. The higher the income from selling gas, the less cash infusion. Then that's where the rub is, because unless they can show, I think the numbers, and these were rough numbers, just kind of of guesses. Unless they can show at the 10th year something in excess of $2,300,000 in income, that difference, that delta, as you would like to say, ends up having to be cash from somebody investing in the pipeline. So it's a lot more complicated than we initially thought. That doesn't mean it's impossible, but it's going to take a lot more time and effort to figure out if and when we can do it. And I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Did Mayor drink wine?
Yes. He did attend. He was very pleased to be there. He's very happy that we're really including him and his team at the table.
So my understanding is that Northwest Natural doesn't sell gas. They sell the transportation of gas. Is that how she described it? And that's so the pipeline.
The infrastructure for to get it out there, yeah.
Well, I'm glad he was there so he understands. You obviously were.
And I don't think it's impossible. It's just going to be
difficult.
More difficult than you realize.
So they need a high demand in order to make it worthwhile.
Yeah. So I'm going to pass today to save my voice.
Okay. Yes.
I went to the Human Services AOC Steering Committee meeting yesterday. and heard some great presentations on just about all aspects of human services around the state. And the committee spent, gosh, a good hour and a half prioritizing what's most important for legislative agenda for the next session. Came up with about, maybe 10 to 12, I can't recall exactly how many items, and the committee members are going to prioritize them and really look at what we can accomplish through AOC. But not surprisingly, working on the opiate crisis is important. That came to the top of the list. Accessory dwelling units was important. Workforce housing is something that is pretty universal around the state in regards to what we need to, something we need to focus on with housing. Really looking at the continuum of care when it comes to treatment, to aftercare, to jobs, that we're really missing a public funding piece when it comes to the helping people get the jobs. And Central City Concern gave a great presentation on how their public and private funding is, and really their investment in private donations is that link, that final link to self-sufficiency. And they raise most of their donor dollars for that piece, which I thought was pretty informative. So that was pretty much the conversation. And how the priorities are going to come out is anybody's guess. I think that there is a need for everything, but we're going to choose 3 to 4. We're going to really narrow it so we can be successful, and that was pretty much consensus from the committee. Pretty full committee. Most everybody was there.
Yeah, I'm glad you made it. I had it. I was aware of it, but I had other things I had to do. But.
All right. Yeah, there's one brief thing I'll say. So this discussion about trying to incentivize workforce housing and other housing deals and also ADUs, and it's something I broached here, I think, last year when we talked about SDCs and making a distinction between maybe a one-bedroom home or an apartment or a three-bedroom home versus a five-bedroom home, that the SDC is the same, and maybe one way to incentivize, that's the word I was looking for, to incentivize maybe building housing that is for lower rent, lower cost, would be to say and look at the math of what we're currently doing and somehow do an SEC formula change and run this by HBA and a number of folks. I think we have to really flesh that out with folks. But how practical is it to say we'll offer, hypothetically, I mean, what if the SDCs were half the cost, instead of being $40,000, $50,000 a home, $20,000 or $25,000 per home, to encourage those single-unit, lower-cost housing and make the difference up on the larger ones and make sure that there's an equitable spread across that. But you could have three tiers. But this came up at the Oak Grove CPO a little bit because I was put on the spot and just talked about the ordinance we passed last year with regards to shelters or the SDC had changed we made for shelters to do a waiver. But I think that next step to incentivize lower-cost housing is a means we ought to look at. Don, any input on that, how we would do that? Because it would affect parks, West. What do we have control over SDC-wise that we could be the tip of the spear on this? Your voice, too.
Yeah.
I think what it ended up doing is bringing together those team of folks who are involved with those departments that are involved with SDCs and strategize on what our options are with respect to that particular approach.
And that's a good, if I can just chime in, a good conversation when the Blue Ribbon Committee gets together to have that, because that's a big piece of what we have available to incentivize housing. Mm-hmm. And along those lines, as I've been thinking about that Blue Ribbon Committee, are we able to go and listen? And even if we're not participating as commissioners, I think that having all that information.
I thought we were going to be able to have a couple seats for us to participate.
Yeah, I see any commissioner that wants to be there should be there.
Good.
I'm not worried about that. But if there's three of us, we have to notice the meeting.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. But
so
that's fine. Mm-hmm.
There's a public meeting, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I planned on
what we're doing with what you've initiated with the superintendents and all of us kind of want to here. So, yeah, I think that's an issue.
I have a question, a procedural question on that. So if three of us wanted to go to
this committee meeting, but we were sitting in the audience and not participating in the discussions. Do we have to notice that?
Not typically. I mean, the only reason for noticing is if there's an expectation that you might engage in the conversation and the discussion.
But I just want to be sure.
So, yeah.
So we're just sitting in the audience listening. We're not participating.
Right.
It's not an issue. But if we sit at the table and we're going to participate in the discussions, then then we should notice if there's three or more of us.
Okay. That's a good question. So if ever we're not noticed and we end up all at the same meeting, then we're not supposed to talk. Good luck with
that. I don't know that I totally agree with that, because it could influence your decision-making as a group.
What do you mean we can't talk?
Well, when all of us are in attendance, it seems that, and you're influenced by the discussion, it should be noticed.
I know, just sometimes don't.
Mary's been doing this a while.
We usually are pretty good about having stuff on our calendars and having that all.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm just curious.
It's a good question.
Yeah, we also go to meetings. We might drive separately and we end up at the same meeting.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily notice that. Or did we notice the crab feed? I don't know.
No, just kind of. Well, that's different. That's more social. This is like a task force. We're in a committee with a.
Right,
policy.
I have to say, the purpose of the task force is to influence the decisions that we're going to make. The question is, are we participating in that decision-making process versus simply listening?
Well, it's not a decision-making process. It's a advisory recommendation process.
Yeah. If we're participating in it, I definitely see where you definitely want to notice. But if we're sitting in the audience just listening, their whole purpose is to give us information anyway. So, but it would be worth knowing the answer.
Well, it's probably better safe than sorry and noticing.
Yeah.
We'll get a little information from Mr. Madcore at some time.
But just what's
next?
Okay, the next item is the business meeting agenda. You are meeting as the Housing Authority this Thursday, and you've got a handful of consent agenda items for the Housing Authority. You'll have two presentations. One is presenting April as Child Abuse Prevention Month, and we'll have Rod Cook there to talk with you about that. And then Don Emmerich will be having you recognize this week, the week of April 2nd, as Public Health Week in Clackamas County as well. We have a previously approved land use issue also on the agenda that does not involve public testimony. This is the Parker Northwest Mining matter that you had conducted a hearing on March the 7th, I believe. And then another handful of consent agenda items. Let me know if you have any questions. Next item I've got on the list is on Tuesday of last week, I forwarded to you a request from Chair Bernard for pre-approval of a deposit for potential legal representation involving a potential complaint and or litigation matter. And, of course, the board has a board order that describes how we approach these things. In accordance with that board order, I am recommending that you approve the request for pre-approval. That then will allow, should a complaint be filed, the chair to be able to secure appropriate representation regarding that.
I move that we approve.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve the request. Any further discussion?
Yeah, I'd just like to add that this has always been a touchy thing with me over the years. And I think I'm going to abstain on this one because right now I just think it's somewhat, until there's actually a claim or a charge or a definition around it, it's hard to fulfill the intent of the ordinance. So, I'm of the belief that we could wait on this, but I'm not going to interfere with it. But I just want to abstain because it's just really a lack of understanding or clarity as to what the, what is. And I know that no one can answer that question. So we don't know. So that I'll just abstain from this one.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 Abstaining? Aye.
One abstention.
So two abstaining, three yes. Motion carries.
The next item I have is a request from Dan Chandler. And, of course, Dan is currently out of the country, so I'm carrying this on his behalf. There are two additional individuals we wanted to have you name to the Housing Affordability Task Force. Mr. Nate Ember, who is an architect from the Oak Grove area, and Shelley Yoder, who is a school outreach coordinator with Providence. Nate would be an at-large member, and Shelley would represent healthcare. We had some sort of last-minute shifts and changes when we brought the list to you at your policy session, I believe, last week or the prior week, and we inadvertently did not include their names in the list, so we're asking you to go ahead and make those appointments today.
Is there a motion?
That we add them.
Shelley Yoder and Nate Ember.
Yeah, Shelley Yoder and Nate
Ember. Second.
Yes.
Thank you.
Who moved? Sarnia moved.
Moved. Okay, I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded that we appoint Nate and Shelley to the Housing Affordability Task Force. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposing? Motion carries. Thanks.
Okay, I'm going to invite Gary Schmidt up to talk with you about a letter regarding the Metro housing bond matter.
Commissioners, you have a draft letter in your packet to send to Metro in support of their proposed housing bond, which will likely be on the November ballot this year. This topic was discussed at the Clackamas County Coordinating Committee Metro Subcommittee at their March meeting, and at that time there was consensus for the county to send a letter, and there were some suggestions mentioned at that group what could be in the letter, which is in the draft you have, as well our housing H3S staff and Commissioner Schrader, who also was in support of this letter, brought this letter forward, added edits as well. So the letter is before you today. If you approve sending this letter or if you have any edits you'd like to make.
Why now? Is it premature to send a letter? Have they decided actually to do this yet?
So the Metro Council has not made a decision yet to put it on the ballot, but they will have to make that decision, I believe, in late May or early June. So the timing is appropriate. If we wanted to have input on what that actual ballot language could be, then now's the time to give that feedback.
Okay.
I think we need to influence.
So that's your motion.
So my question maybe to Martha, because you're on MPAC, I just really don't know where we've actually had a regional dialogue about this. I mean, about how to shape it, and to me, I think it's really needed, whether it's this or it's transportation. But we seem not to. When Metro's in the lead, don't seem to have an opportunity to have a broad regional dialogue.
They do have a task force. They have a committee, and Mayor Gamba serves on it. So he's kind of been the Clackamas representative on that broader discussion. And one of the reasons we brought this letter forward was we want to make sure that anything that happens with the bond dollars, it's equitably distributed across the participating counties. So, yes, there has been a conversation. I am not on that task force. Do you know the name of it, Gary?
I don't know.
You don't? No. But that's been ongoing at Metro. So we could talk to Mayor Gamba and have him give us an update from his perspective, because he's the kind of Clackamas County rep on that.
Well, that's
not filling what you think we should have, though.
Well, I guess here's the challenge. It's been a regional challenge for years. Even when I sat on MPAC in 2005, 6, and 7, was that sometimes it's about where, and the city's pulling their weight, because it's really a responsibility of the cities. So it seems to me that there ought to be a convening, frankly, a regional meeting, a convening of the cities who are responsible for, what is it, Goal 10?
Mm-hmm.
For Goal 10. And are they going to participate in that, and how? Because if we don't have willing areas, but we have money, then that really means that we are inclined to, and there's a time period to spend those dollars and invest them. So then we're forced to act swiftly, and then we're acting probably within the boundaries of the county, but not within the boundaries of the city, which is contrary to really what the cities have always advocated for. Don't provide services, and yet we're really increasing our responsibility and not that's not really being shared with the city. So I really think there's really a need for a regional dialogue on this and how the city's pulled to say, you know what, we're willing to take X. I'm sure that Mayor Gamba, I have no doubt that he is
advocating
for this.
He's gonna, are you talking about a C4 discussion with the cities under the umbrella of Metro? Because we've discussed it at MPAC. I mean, we are continually having those discussions there, and I've been attending those now because of they're actually making decisions when it comes to this. So what other kinds of information do you need? More regular reports from MPAC?
Well, I'd like to know which cities of the 25 are willing to step up and participate in this. We have 25 cities in the Metro's boundary, in the urban growth boundary, 24 now, I think, with Damascus out. So who's going to step up? It's really about the whether it's NIMBYism or about the where, but if we're going to do this, are they on board and will they support it? Or will the counties be taking this on? Because the counties, that's where the money's going to go. It's going to go to the housing authorities.
Yeah, really. That's correct.
But the opportunities where it's needed, specifically, is where there's transportation and where we have these areas where there's poverty and we want to have a diverse community. So there's a responsibility for the cities to at least say, you know what, we'll do some of it here in our city and around the region. So here's a lot of money, but unless we're all on board, I'd certainly like to have consensus of the 25 cities. Have a regional convener of the 25 cities.
So the question here is, do we want to send this letter? Mm-hmm. Do we want to send the letter?
So yes. I have a question, Gary. I don't know if you can answer this, but I think it's interesting. I didn't realize that we opened up for our waiting list, and we had 7,000 applications in 5 days, and that is pretty incredible. So I'm just curious. I can't recall what our current waiting list is. Is it 4,000?
We have 4,000.
4,000, that's what I remember, is 4,000. But is it now 7,000?
I'm looking for support, and I see Jill come up.
Application in 5 days.
That's pretty dramatic.
So to answer your question, those are actual people that applied.
Okay.
And unfortunately, everyone that submits an application is not placed on a waiting list. There's a lottery held after that, and the lucky lottery winners get to be on the application. On the waiting list. So those folks were distributed to different waiting lists, and there are 4,000 of them that are actually on the list. The rest were sent letters saying, I'm sorry, you didn't get to be placed on the list. So that shows an indicator of a huge need.
So then I just don't know if we should say that we have 4,000 people. I mean, I don't know if we need to demonstrate the need that way. I'm okay not doing it. I think this number is good. I think the way it's written is excellent, but just... So it was a question that I had in my mind as I read, and I don't know if they'll have that question.
Do we want to wordsmith this? Is that what I'm hearing?
No,
I'm okay with it.
I'm thinking about adding a sentence.
Pardon me?
I'm thinking about adding a sentence, perhaps. But I think Commissioner Humberson wanted to say something. Ken?
Well, I think Commissioner Savas's point about making sure that all the cities are on board and that however this is ultimately done and the funds are distributed, the housing is equitably distributed also rather than creating ghettos. And I think that's what you're trying to avoid.
Exactly.
That everybody takes their, if you will, their fair share. And we've seen plenty of evidence that doesn't always happen. I'm not sure how we make that point in this letter in a direct manner, but I think that point should be made. Generally speaking, I support the idea of the bond, so don't misunderstand me. But I want to be sure that, you know, one or two neighborhoods are not dramatically impacted with an overbuilt of low-income housing, and other neighborhoods are not impacted at all.
So
I don't think that's appropriate.
The last paragraph is pretty good. This is really integrated throughout this letter. Whoever wrote this letter did a really good job.
This is, I think Trent wrote it, didn't he? This is Trent's.
Trent started it, and many, many people contributed to it.
Well, it was all public and government relations, really.
Well, H3S staff as well.
Thank you for that.
I mean, I think our issues of equity, which are such a value for us, are very clear.
But are we talking about equity for individuals, or are we talking about equity in the communities? Because we have unincorporated areas of Clackamas County that have more than their fair share of low-income housing.
But
and we have cities that have well under their fair share.
Yeah.
And that's my concern.
And they're not all under the rubric of
And you can't force them.
So, but back to Paul, your question here. I'm just trying to, because we've convened mayors for our own county, but you're saying within the three, you know, Clark County, Clackamas, and Washington, should convene mayors together to talk about how this is going to work?
Well, I was thinking
because I'm trying to figure out where, because as I said, Metro has convened the discussion that's framing the bond and what the thresholds are going to be and what the parameters are going to be and all of that. But this is over and above.
Yeah, well, I can add a little bit of context to this just so that you understand what Metro's doing. Rich is currently serving on the stakeholder committee meeting that Metro is holding with folks from all of the region, and it includes everyone from, you know, county representatives to city representatives to community organizations, nonprofits, business leaders. There's development, private development folks there. And then there's also a technical advisory committee that Chuck and I will be serving on that's more about figuring out the distribution and the formulas. And as you said, it does have to go through the housing authority. And we could only develop housing in the cities that are within the metro boundaries. But I agree with you. I think Metro has been talking to some of the cities. I'm not sure if it's been all of them, but the Metro Council is coming on a tour on April 24th that I hope that you will opt into and you can have those conversations with them.
Yeah, another way of framing it, and then I'll make a suggestion for some language to add, but another way of framing this is they're made it clear that they want to go this year. They've also made it clear that in order, when you bond the monies, you need to be able to build and use it within a certain time span. There's bonds, so you have to do something with it. But we haven't really determined the wares yet, right? And this is a responsibility of the cities, goal 10 is, not the counties, but yet the counties have that. So if we don't really know the where, but there's the put on the ballot, and we know the when, which is November. To me, there ought to be a convening of the cities to iron that out. So if a sentence was in there that said, you know, in light of goal 10, or that it's important that we have, so we don't have, what's the word?
Inequitable distribution of housing.
That we suggest there be a convening of the cities and counties to discuss the opportunities of where these dollars will be spent, or where the, you know, a sense of that, to just suggest that regional discussion. I think we really need to have, the way we currently said, we really don't have a regional discussion. We have a subset, and there's not enough communication amongst the parties of the cities amongst themselves. And I hear this all the time, whether it's primarily on transportation, frankly, to be honest with you. But this as well, you know, even Metro Council Tom Hughes and I have had a discussion about this, about the housing situation.
Mr. Chairman, could we get the basic change of language as Commissioner Savas is suggesting, and then get it brought back to us for action on the Thursday agenda? That way it's timely.
I would suggest simply this. I mean, I understand the gist of Commissioner Savas's request, and I would suggest wording it to the affirmative that would speak to the need to engage and involve all of our municipal partners in the dialogue in a regional conversation. And I think we can take that, turn that into language, and that we can then flip that back to you via email, let you know that this is the language change that we're proposing. If anybody's got any particular concerns about it, I'm not cutting the mustard, they can let us know. But then we can go ahead and get the letter up and set up for signature following that.
Okay.
I think there should be some specificity about what the subject matter of those discussions is, and that subject matter is the equitable distribution of the housings throughout the communities. That's the point of what he's talking about,
I think that needs to be
specific. Otherwise, it's just a generic conversation.
I would be cautious about how we frame that, because the issue is everybody accepting the responsibility and the burden of being able to address this issue? The suggestion of how we actually go to distribute where affordable housing goes is a whole other kind of conversation. And using the term equitable distribution of housing kind of implies certain things that I don't necessarily think we want to imply.
Exactly.
But if we're talking...
That the low-income housing has not been equitably distributed, in my estimation.
But you can't make them.
No, but that's
we've tried this year.
I didn't say we can force anybody to do anything, but I do think that that's what the subject of the discussion actually is. That's what I have a problem with.
I would just add that I know that if these funds are approved by the voters and they do flow through the Housing Authority, which is the plan, that then we will have opportunity as a community, and we're pushing for local decision-making, then you'll have opportunities to weigh in on where those funds go and where the development happens. And that's what we're negotiating for with Metro right now, local control and local decision-making.
Now, I'll just end it here with this, my last input. After the apprehension of the cities at C4 on the Clackamas County side of the region, it just makes me I'm just really uncomfortable with the fact that the work and responsibility of locating these is going to be on the county with maybe a city or two participating. Hopefully all, but DLCD had one of their folks in the room when C4 last discussed this. It's a big issue. This is a statewide issue. And there was a claim, I think, in Woodburn, I guess a lawsuit in Woodburn, really about the city's not willingness or not to recognize their responsibility of Goal 10. So mine's more about Goal 10, and then I think automatically you get to that distribution.
So are you suggesting our county convenes all the cities in the region to discuss
Metro.
This, or Metro?
Metro's leading this.
All right. So
the responsibilities.
So that is that's a conversation with Tom. Because have the mayors been meeting specifically on this issue would be my question. I'm unaware.
I'm unaware, too.
I don't think they
Jim,
have.
Jim, you've gone to the mayors and chairs. Have this been discussed?
We haven't really talked about it.
Yeah.
Okay. You remember talking about it?
No, they have not today.
Okay, so that's where it should be brought up.
And just a thought. I'm really think local decision-making is a value that we want to not give up. So if we're saying we want Metro to do this, it makes me very weary. I would much rather have local, having us working with our cities and looking at the equity and not bump it up to the regional government. There's a much more input and control we have at the local level.
And that third paragraph of this letter reflects that.
It
we
does.
Are to convening. We're convening Clackamas County cities.
Yeah.
But you were talking about a broader regional convening. Am I correct, Commissioner?
Correct.
Okay. So they're two different things.
Yeah, they're very
We're
much
doing our homework locally in our county.
Yeah.
Okay.
Richard.
Yeah. If I could jump in here really quickly. So Richard Swift with Health, Housing, and Human Services. So this is a really important conversation. You know, we've had, I think, within the Metro UGB some really outstanding development that's occurred. You have the Oregon City Houses Coalition. I think they've renamed themselves now. They're the Clackamas County Houses Coalition. But you also have other parts of this county that are beginning to have grassroots conversation about how housing occurs, who's involved in those conversations. And if the voters say yes to this money, this is going to mean a fair chunk of dollars coming to this county for a conversation about how do we do housing. And at that point, you know, there will be some heavy lifting, and there will be some conversations regarding equity. Where does this housing get developed? How we do multi-income housing as opposed to a focus on low-income housing in particular areas? Because I think national models show that that does not work. That is not useful for anyone. And there will be some, I think, some interesting conversations we will have with particular cities about their participation. I would advocate that we do not give up our opportunity for this local conversation in the county, carrying that forward and doing some of that heavy lifting. And that's why we are going to have this housing task force. That's why we already have significant partnerships with entities like the Houses Coalition. And so the language of this letter is important in terms of how we take our step forward with Metro and how we position Clackamas County to be able to use these dollars effectively. And the other piece of this is, you know, this is really not going to be the end resolution or solution. This is our continuance in our journey in how do we effectively meet this challenge of affordable housing for every resident of the county. So I would strongly advocate relative to this letter that we look at retaining our local control.
Okay.
Yep. And do you think the current letter addresses that?
I think so. I think that these, you know, the draft here is a good first step. I mean, maybe we can strengthen. I mean, I don't have it memorized, and I don't have my glasses up here, so I'm not going to do a quick read on it. I think maybe we could take a look at strengthening, you know, our intent regarding local control. And then maybe, and also maybe some language regarding Commissioner Hubbardson's concerns regarding how we place this out across the county.
That's all I'm asking. I don't want that piece of it to get lost.
Well, it's important
in a generic conversation.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and I think it's important that we're looking at shifting to, you know, not having housing projects per se of everybody all together, but we're looking at unique ways of mixed income housing, which automatically distributes the housing and addresses a lot of the concerns around equity that are our values. And that is stated in the letter, mm-hmm. that's how we're moving forward with how we want to fulfill our goals.
I mean, we have a multitude of communities in the county that are in need of housing and different approaches. Like when we look at the CSAP, the folks coming out of CSAP who are engaged with the sheriff's office and community corrections and in trying to extract themselves from the penal system that they've been involved in repeatedly, and how do we support that community in that effort? And then we also have kids who are aging out of foster care, who are, I think, 10 times a higher probability of houselessness. And because what we're doing right now is not meeting that need at all. So we have a bunch of communities that we have an opportunity to engage with. And, you know, so if the community says yes to these dollars, we like I said, it's not the end solution, but we have some really exciting opportunities. But it's going to be a lot of hard work.
How often does your task force, the technical and then the policy task force, meet? I said Mayor Gamba, and I apologize. I have been aware you guys have been working on this.
Two or three more meetings on the books regarding this, and I don't know about the technical committee.
Okay, so that's kind of coming to a closure then. Okay.
All right, so
let us make the edits, and there's time. We can bring it back next Tuesday for you to have final approval. How's that?
All right. Okay. That's okay. All right. Great.
And I have one quick thing. So Jill mentioned Metro counselors are going to Washington, Multnomah, and Clackamas County to do tours of affordable housing sites and potential sites in anticipation of this bond work. And they've chosen Tuesday, April 24th as the date to do Clackamas County's tour, which will involve the cities and the commissioners. Now, two of you will be in Washington, D.C. that week, Commissioner Fisher and Humberston. But for the remaining commissioners, are you interested in participating? It's
sure.
between 9 and 2. I understand your policy sessions are already canceled for that day anyway, or not scheduled, I've heard.
What day is that again?
Tuesday, April 24th, or if I'm... Kevin, can you correct me on that?
Nothing has been scheduled on that Tuesday.
Okay.
So
sure.
Okay. So
great.
We'll put a hold on your calendars and give you more information.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. We've got... another item. I'm going to invite Emily Klepper up to give you an update on the Veterans Transitional Shelter Project. We're running just a few minutes behind. We're doing fine, though.
Okay. Good morning. Emily Klepper, Policy Advisor, here with...
I'm Kevin Cohen, the Housing and Community Development Manager.
And
that one doesn't appear to be working.
Dan Johnson, Director of Department of Transportation Development.
It's actually wrap dropped up on the floor right there, that mic.
I'm going to use this one the rest of it.
Yeah, use that one. It doesn't work.
So we're here to give you an update on the bid we received for the site work related to the Clackamas Veterans Village project, which, as you'll recall, is temporary transitional shelter community for up to 30 houseless veterans. Last week, we gave you a preview of the bid that we received, and staff over the course of last week did some relooking at the site plan and negotiating with the bidder. And so I'll let Kevin and Dan speak to those activities a little, and then we'll wrap.
So I'll start off. Our staff met with the contractor, which is Subcom, after the initial bid was received. We were directed to see if we could do some value engineering, make some trade-offs between whether the contractor does the work or the work is done in-house with county facilities. And we came up with some substantial savings. The initial contract was for about $527,000. The new contract with Subcom is at $444,000. And even getting the buyback, you know, there's going to be some costs for facilities work of $8,000 is what the Jeff Jorgensen approximated the value of that work would be. There's still a savings of about $75,000 over the initial contract with Subcom.
Yeah, I appreciate that value engineering going back and trying to find savings, so that's appreciated. It sounds like it's a substantial amount of money, so good job there. One thing I was brought to my attention over the weekend was on the modular piece. I just want to make sure that we've got the electrical contractor and the people who assemble those modulars together lined up in advance, because apparently they're 4 to 8 weeks usually booked. So I don't know if the person or the folks that are doing the modular will be doing it themselves, and that's part of their bid, the installation and the electrical. But I do know that that has to be subbed, the electrical piece. And so, by the way, that could be, if we're not prepared for that, that could be another 8 week delay.
And that's understood. So the for the community buildings are going to be modulars, and the modular facility is going to be siting the buildings, but we are going to be responsible for hooking up the sewer and electrical. My understanding, and I'll check on this, is that that electrical piece was part of the bid with Subcom. But I'll check on that and get back with Emily.
Yeah, my understanding is that they are the people that do this for a living are really keen on making sure the delivery date, the modular, and the date at which the contractor shows up to do the assembly, and that the following day is the person to do the electrical, that it's really a really coordinated effort. And if we really don't even know when our point of time or direction ready to accept it, you know, I want to make sure that they have the means, and that's been calculated into the price as well, the cost for all that work as well. So that's included?
I believe it's included. Okay. It was meant to be included, but I'll make sure I'll check and get back to you.
Okay.
So, with your kind of agreement, we'd like to move, staff recommends moving forward with this bid and adding it to your consent agenda for the April 12th business
okay.
meeting.
Everybody okay with that?
Yeah,
all
I'm
right.
good with that. But Don, you're going to figure out, or someone's going to figure out where the money's come from?
Yeah, we'll be fine with that. Yeah. Most of it's going to come from 420, the capital projects fund. So some of it may be covered by the development agency, but not a lot. So.
Okay. All right, great. Yes.
I just wanted to congratulate Emily on the work that she has done. She's done yeoman service trying to put this project together.
Thank you.
And the other thing is just to make sure that people understand this is probably the first fully permitted situation of its kind in the state. Others have bootlegged things in or not followed their own rules and regulations. We actually did what I think is a concept that sometimes the public doesn't believe we follow, and that is we actually are going to follow our own rules and our own regulations and do it by the book. So well done. It's a little more expensive, but nonetheless, well done. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been a team effort, so really I have great people working with me.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have an ABC?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Krupp. Real quickly, we have the Clackamas County Extension 4-H Service District Budget Committee. Staff is recommending the reappointments of James Cronenberg, Laura Huckaba, and Tim Thacker.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded by everyone. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We'll say Martha seconded that.
Yeah.
All right. Next.
Anything on scheduling?
No.
Okay. So.